Faithful Savior, we are here, again coming before Thee. Tarry with us, Savior. Tarry with us, be with us, sustain us. We are so thankful for the blessings that we have received this day, measured, stressed up, and full. From thy word, from the Bible class, from the morning message, from the words of songs and the thoughts expressed, we are so thankful, Lord. So tarry with us this afternoon. We thank thee and praise thee in Christ Jesus. Amen. Believe it or not, we will turn again into Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. I'd like to read verses 12 to 15. It seems that maybe beginning with the Pine Valley, but certainly last several weeks, many messages, many thoughts were derived from this scriptures. Now let's read first. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned off out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. My thoughts this week and my focus was on the verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men. This man is M-E-N. Plural. Follow peace with all men that you ever come in contact with. And the scripture qualifies it as much as light in you. Live peaceable with all men. And then it says holiness. And it says without which no man individual, that is M-A-N, shall see the Lord. That goes for women also. That's a generic. As creation of God, as man and male and female. So, Sister Olga, Sister Vesna, if you have to put a title, I would say, follow after peace. You know, the focus of this morning Bible class was the faithfulness, the concept of faithfulness, and of course, as with many places in the scripture, it says, consider Jesus Christ. In chapter 3, which Brother Bata handled this morning in the Bible class, in chapter 12, where this is derived from this text, he said, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, So the model is always Jesus Christ. And we use that model in so many different aspects of a Christian life. This morning, it was concept of faithfulness, being faithful, being called, and then staying faithful to the calling to which we are called. And given many examples from the scriptures, New Testament, Old Testament alike. And then Brother Tim, he talked about running with patience or endurance, that race. And I remember our Pine Valley theme. Running with patience, race, it's almost contradictory. You don't think necessarily of patience when you run. That is something that seems opposite of patience, but it is in the sense of endurance. And as many beautiful points that were made this morning by Brother Tim, you know, I too, when I had a morning devotion in Pine Valley, you know, I too had that thought. You know, this is a race that has no spectators. You are all in this race. The question is, are you running? Because that race is called life. God has created you and me. And the question is, if we're going to have a life of a faith, race toward a heavenly goal, or are we running away from the life of faith in opposite directions? There is no neutral ground. There is no in-between where you and me can be. If you think that you are on the fence, you maybe not decided. If you decide to postpone it, do not make a decision today. You already made that decision. And it was mentioned again in the scriptures today. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. But as we look at considering Jesus, looking unto Jesus, I was thinking this week, and I put some thoughts together in the direction of patience, and in the direction of looking and following after peace. Peace is more than just absence of conflict. Bible talks about different kinds of peace. Talks about peace that passeth all understanding, that is really not sufficiently described by words, especially words that I can utter. But injunction is to follow after peace. Follow peace with all men as much as it lieth in you, as much as it's possible. We know there are situations, there are people that it's almost impossible to have a peace with. But our aim is to do just that, to live peaceably among ourselves. And that peace has many different attributes to it. And one of the things that I thought of, when Psalm 133 says, "Behold how good and pleasant is for brethren to dwell in unity." One element of that peace is when there is a unity amongst the brotherhood. That's when the peace is being followed in a sense that God describes it. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul Apostle says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us an offering and sacrifice for the sweet-smelling Savior. Again, Christ is the example, and another element of that following or working after the peace is to walk in love. Love, again, is a rather broad subject. There are many aspects of love, but one of the way of having that peace and following that peace is when it is done in love, when it is done in a completely selfless mode without any selfish thought or any reason. When one seeks welfare of the other, when one builds on you and strives toward the unity amongst the brotherhood, and is done in a fashion that is overlaid with love. Because sometimes we need to tell each other things that may not be completely pleasant, but they may be necessary. And this is a scripture that is circulating in my mind, but it doesn't come to my lips yet. Speaking truth in love is one of the scriptures, right? We need to speak the truth, and sometimes truth hurts, but we are told that when we do that in love, then that truth will accomplish its mission. The reason why it needs to be brought up to the surface, so to speak, is because it is directed toward the love and peace in brotherhood and toward generating that unity of the Spirit. Another scripture that came to my mind is in Romans 14. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So peace is part of the kingdom of God. It is an element of that complex or multifaceted concept of kingdom of God. And a good, important part of it is that we have unity, love, and peace, and that we follow. That means that we predeterminately follow toward that goal and that zeal. Another scripture that I have is, now God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And the concept of being full means that there is nothing left to be filled with, that we be completely determined and completely minded to achieve that goal of love and peace and unity and brotherhood, that there is no room for, how do you say that in English? Hinder motive. There is no room for ulterior motives. When you feel with something, there's not. But I remember, I think the story is a college professor who brought a little jar, glass jar, and filled it up with the rocks. And I say, is that thing full? I said, yeah, you couldn't put any more rocks like that, right? And now he took another bunch of much smaller rocks, and they go in between. And now this was full with that, right? He said, and the class says, yeah, this is full. You can't get any more. He said, now he took a sand, and there's more. And after, I think the last thing was the water, right? Big rock, smaller rock, sand, water. It's like the elements of that kingdom of God. There's many attributes that you and I as individuals, you and I as a body of believers have, you know. But the Lord wants us to be full with all those elements, joy, peace, and abounding hope. those are things that need to fulfill and complete your life and mine. And even though we may, in the course of this day, you know, we've had focus on faithfulness in service, focus of steadfastness, patience, focus on following the peace or any other love. I think the message that I get from all these beautiful thoughts that were expressed today, that, you know, we need to be wholeheartedly in it, fully committed in it, that to leave, lay aside, as it was mentioned this morning, lay aside burden and sin that so easily beset us. In the Old Testament, in a concept of that follow after peace, we have an account in Genesis where Abraham, even before he became Abraham, if you remember, said unto Lot, his nephew, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren." He resolved ahead of time that he's going to make peace where the strife was, by extension, herdmen were fighting over pasture. He resolved that there will be peace between him and his nephew, whether that cost him a better pasture or anything else. The idea of peace was overriding the second issues. And I think if we put it in those, if we think in those terms and put it in those terms, then we will say, okay, we have a situation here where we don't fully agree on this detail or that detail. Is it more important for me to have my way? Or is it more important for us to maintain peace, to maintain love, to maintain unity? And we have it in those terms. And don't forget, time after time in Hebrews, in so many places, look unto Jesus. Consider Jesus. Look at the supreme example, and then you and I will be motivated to achieve and to strive toward that goal that the Bible definitely wants us to have. Peace is not just absence of conflict. Peace is not only when two opposing forces have fought the war and have either one side achieved their result or the other, or they both became exhausted and said, "We cannot go on, and we're going to agree, we're going to arrive at peace." Peace needs to be constructed. Peace needs to be made. Remember the Beatitude? What did the Lord Jesus say? "Blessed are the peacemakers, those who actively work to achieving that peace. For they shall be called the children of God." And you and I definitely want to be not only called, not only labeled as children of God. We want to be one indeed, not just to have a title. Blessed be the peacemakers. Peacemakers get busy when there is a conflict, when there is a turbulence. And they become peacemakers when they don't say, "This is the side that I support, this is the side that I like, This is the side that needs to prevail. Peacemakers take into consideration desires from all sides. And usually, first time I heard the term was in attorney's office, who came out and said, neither side is satisfied, so that means this is a good settlement. But we have a different definition. Bible sets the standard, what is good outcome, what is the good result. When it resembles in your life and mine how God wants us to be, how God wants us to act, that's a good peacemaking. And fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That's a James speaking. Fruits of righteousness. Fruits don't happen overnight. Fruits of righteousness are sown in peace. You know, the scripture talks about that, and we know that from real life, you know. The farmer sows the seed and has to wait. He has to do his part, but it's only God that makes that seed germinate and bring forth fruit. And he has to wait in patience. Again, we're back to the subject of patience, of waiting patiently for Lord to work out that miracle that makes a seed become a fruit. But it says that fruit accrues to the account of those who are peacemakers, who are sowing peace, and they are blessed with the righteousness as a result. When Isaiah announced, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Even though he himself says, I've not only come to bring peace to this earth, because really, as Brother Tim mentioned, we live in a fallen world. Peace cannot be achieved by doing nothing. Something has to happen before. That conflict has to be settled. And in your life and mine, especially in the life of those who have maybe not yet on the fence. That needs to happen to your life. You need to be willing to accept that peace that God offers to those who will turn to him. You must ask for that peace. Confess your sin and accept the grace of salvation so that he can give you that blessing of that peace in your heart. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. What is the condition here? First of all, he says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, in complete and steady peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Not only looked at and focused for a moment and then padding the universe if there is anything that's alternative that may be better. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed. Once you found the Lord, He wants you and me to be stayed on Him. That we look and consider Jesus Christ and stayed focused in mind, in heart, in behavior. When Jesus was ready to leave His disciples, what did He say? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This was a gift that He was giving to His disciples then. This is a gift that He is offering and giving His followers today and to those who would be His followers. Absolutely different kind of peace, absolutely different kind than the world peace. You know, I was reminded for some reason, U.S. fought a war in North Korea. That peace agreement has never yet been signed. It's still festering. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth unto you. He is not an Indian giver, saying goes. You know, He's not something giving you today and taking away tomorrow. You know, this world, including this government, you know, they sign agreement, they break agreement, they walk away from it and say, you know, we need to make another agreement. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What other guarantee you have, or I, that will shield us from trouble, from fear, if not the Word of God, if not the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ? He said, that peace will give you, so you're not afraid or troubled. And finally, in Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Same idea. Peace of God that passeth all understanding, that is not really completely comprehensible to the human mind, shall keep your hearts and minds through heart Jesus. Human conditions change. Present time at different places in the world are totally different. But this promise, this truth is comprehensible whether we live in a troubled time or it seems to be peaceful, whether we're destitute or we're rich, or whatever in between. You know, last time I spoke here, I was reminded how we started worshiping here before the sanctuary was completed. Now we seem to be at the end of this renovation. It's like another era. You know, restoration is coming to a close. Lord willing, next Sunday we'll gather at the old sanctuary, which will not look old, which will look different. If you're like me, I never set a foot there to look curiously how it is. I want to be surprised. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to enjoy what I like, and I'll forgive things if I don't like it. It's going to work for me. I don't know if it's going to work for you. Okay. But that may be one way of accomplishing peace, you know. You can choose the opposite and gripe about everything and, you know, you. I was trying to connect this this idea how this is the end of a period of weeks in this case. But, you know, I'm looking back in my life, and for some reason things surface to my memories. And when I talk about something that happened a long time ago, some of you have said publicly and some of you said privately that, you know, it's appreciated. You know, I have to be careful. I don't want to preach myself here. But I want to talk again a couple of instances about history, about things that I remember when I was young, when the situation was totally different. We were growing up and there's this total and complete boycott. Totally, the public airwaves was mostly radio at that time, not television was just coming to it, you know. Nothing from the Word of God was ever publicly printed or said on the radio and so forth. I was always reading a lot and, you know, thinking I was up to date. And some things that surfaced to me, to my mind now, again, sometimes I wonder, why do I remember things? In this case, I know why I remember. Again, it goes back to this choir that just went to Serbia and some other place, our youth choir. You know, when there was a chance that they may even go to the royal house, they asked me, they said they want to sing one song in Serbian language. And they asked me what song that they should sing. And I said, just on top of my head, I said, you know, they should sing 74, I Bow Before God's Power Unending. In Serbian, it says, Ja uzvišujem ljubav Božju, I extol the love of God. So, you know, singing about that in the royal palace, you know, I think it's not non-controversial. But then I gave them a little bit of background why I thought about this song. And that was just my recommendation or whatever. You see, in the beginning of 1800s, now that's a little bit before my time, okay? I'm not that old yet, okay? That's when Reformation was starting to move from where it started in Germany and Switzerland, started to move eastward. And there was an individual by the name of Joachim Vujić. Now, we have a president in Serbia now that's Vučić. This is Vujić. This is close to Vujičić, but it's not exactly the same. Maybe it's the same tree, but different branches, I don't know. This individual is considered father of Serbian theater and assembly. He had Joachim Vujicic Assembly, which was like a musical or theatrical group. They had a singers, they had a instrument players. 1850. And I somehow remember some association with that song, I Bow Before the Powers of Ending. So I thought maybe somebody else will have that sense of history, that even in 1850s, there was I Bow Before God's Power Unending being sang in Serbia. But I didn't remember the details. And then what's the name, brother? Richard Jankov calls me. You know, he got the word he wanted to talk about Joachim Vujic. And he said, you know, he Googled things and so forth. He wanted to find out which words were they singing. I said, you know, Richard, you know, you're ahead of me. I haven't gone to Google. And then I went to Google, and I found out what I remember. Again, I don't remember 1850. But in 1958, there was a, they call it Atelier 212, Atelier 212, some avant-garde writers, musicians, so forth. They decided to have a celebration of 150 years of Joachim Vujic. And they organized that, you know. It's not that I attended there. At that time, I was either baptized or ready for baptism. But lo and behold, all of a sudden on the radio, I hear the beautiful rendering of hymn 74 in Zion Harp, I Bow Before God's Power of Rending. First time in my life did I hear that music, not in church, but on the public radio. Richard was asking what words they use, but it came to me, it must have been just the musical, just the instruments. But to me, that was the most beautiful thing that I heard at that time. That's where, in the total darkness, one light shone publicly, not just in our Nazarene circles, you know. And I remember that, and that's what that association was. And there was a second time in 1960, Adolf Eichmann was considered the author of Holocaust. He conceived the whole idea. He's on top of Nazi leadership. He conceived that whole thing. He was instrumental in setting that most evil thing of these days in motion. Now, he immigrated. He ran away when they lost the war, when they were losing war. He went to Argentina and lived for years under assumed name. But the Israeli Secret Service, Mossad, they tracked him down. They grabbed him. They had a doctor with them who knew how to sedate him enough so that he could still walk through the customs or immigration. And they spirited him out of Argentina into Israel, and they put him on trial there. And his final appeal was before Israeli Supreme Court. It was rejected, and the Serbian main newspaper, Politica, I think in 1962, printed, and that's the first time I saw scripture, Bible verse printed in a communist newspaper. And it was quoting from 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 33. And it simply says, as thy sword had made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. That just confirmed his death sentence. Those are the words of Samuel when he cut up Agog to pieces, if you remember. I had to actually, as I read that paper, I had to actually go to the Bible and confirm. this is the time of darkness as far as outward world concerned. Nothing from the scripture, if it was ever mentioned, it was Sister Vesna told me how teachers used to ridicule everything about the faith and so forth, you know. And here it was the second time. So human history changes. It changes in one place, but its human history is different in different parts of the world. But God's word always shines through. I was thinking also, nowadays, we live in periods where they have a pride parade here, pride parade there, pride parade there. Pride in what? Do you remember what scripture says about pride comes before what? Fall. Before destructions. Dear ones, we are not there yet. But as Brother Brian said on Thursday, trend is not our trend. He's talking about the number in our denomination, but the trend by which our world and our situation is going is not our friend. Some of us came from that dark period where we couldn't hear the word, but luckily, you know, there was a church that we could hear and we could know what God's will is. And we thought, I thought, I'll never see that in America, but don't be so sure anymore. Follow after peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Amen.